Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man that needs no introduction. His name's Doc Holliday, former Tigers football player, longtime Memphis television anchor, and host of the Doc Holliday Show, which you should subscribe to on YouTube. It's where he's been breaking all this Memphis athletics news. He joins us now. Brother Holliday, how are you, number one? And then number two, how good is this Memphis football team going to be this year? What you think, brother?
Man, first of all, what's going on, Jason Smith, John Martin, Brad Carson? Man, I was hoping to get that May song, man. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
We'll have it for you. Yes, let's make it a regular thing, and I'll have it for you every week.
I got you, man. Man, it's good to speak with you, man. First, and speaking of the Memphis Tigers, man, hey, I don't know, Jason, man. I know we need to run the ball better than we did last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm expecting us to be better than a 6-6 season from last season. But we got to run the rock better, man, and we got to have that offensive line moving some people. So I'm hoping for a better football season than we got last year. And as far as I'm concerned, it better be a better football season than we got last year.
Well, that's where I was going, is what kind of pressure, and we know Ryan Silverfield comes from that, right? Former run game coordinator, all that. What kind of pressure in your eyes is Ryan Silverfield on under this year to get it better than 6-6, to get you where you're a contender again, right, Doc? Because in a minute, you're not going to have Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF in there, and they're going to be expecting you to be at the top of things. So how much pressure is he under?
Oh, he's definitely under some pressure, man, and I think – he knew that, and everyone knew that, man. When you following Fuente, then you following Mike Norvell, who took the programs to, Fuente got us about the ditch, and Mike Norvell, you know, put us on top of the house. So right now, you know, 3 years with Silverfield, man, I think he's like 14-10, something like that, his record. So, you know, Memphis Tigers football fans have gotten used to a level of success, and not necessarily a level of football excellence, but a level of success and the expectations of winning and being favorites to win football games. So last year was a season, man, that we didn't want to look at seasons like that anymore. 6-6, now going into his fourth year, I think he should feel a lot of pressure, man. I think he feels a lot of pressure because I think he understands the ceiling has been raised here as far as University of Memphis football from their fans, and he wants to get it back there and keep it there.
Doc, it's great to hear from you, man. When you watch the team, though, under Silverfield, the points have come down, like the average of their scoring averages have come down. Like, what's different? Does it look like there has been a drop-off offensively to you? Like, what does it sort of look like compared to what it was under Norvell, at least on the offensive side of the ball?
Man, multiple killers. When you got multiple killers on offense, man, you can put up all kinds of points and put up all kinds of yards. And I think also to me, man, it's a mentality type thing, man. You know, Norvell and Fuente brought in some guys, man, who were, you know, even though Calvin Austin was a former walk-on and he did his thing, he had to develop in that with that. But I think it's the mentality, man. You know, Norvell and Fuente had guys who had to prove themselves. They weren't really top recruits, but they were talented guys. And they were hungry. And you bring some starving dudes around, man, a couple of dudes who got some great talent, and you let them starving dudes look at them cats that's eating well, man, and they want to eat well too, so that makes them work even harder. And the competition that they had and the leadership they had and the mentality of the players that they had on those squads, I got to say that last year's team was kind of missing that a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they got some guys coming in who can encapsulate some of that same mental toughness and that same attitude and personality that those guys have, that Norvell had, that Fuente had. But that's the thing, man, having killers and having guys with the attitude and the mentality is like, look, bro, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you play for. I don't who you play with. I don't care who you think you are. I'm finna try to take your face off. So the Tigers need more dudes like that, man, and don't worry about anything else.
Doc, what can you do if you're a coach? You played the position. You can help us here. If you're a coach and you're trying to get your running back to stop fumbling the ball, Brandon Thomas showed so much promise, right? I mean, and we know injuries was a part of it as well, but fumbles as well. Is it a deal where, hey, once a fumbler, you're always a fumbler? Is there something you can do as a coach, even at this level, to improve that, to get that out of a Brandon Thomas or whoever?
Man, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Take it for a guy who had a propensity to fumble sometimes. Because a lot of times when you're running back like Brandon Thomas, he likes to run hard.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to break tackles. And a lot of times that's how I was. And sometimes in the course of that, you forget about ball security.
Yeah.
And my thing with them, the more they said to me, don't be fumbling and pay attention to ball security, the more it made me think about it and the more it made the ball slip out. So you can do some things in practice, but if he fumbles, especially if he fumbles one time, leave him alone. Don't side-eye him. Don't say anything to him. Don't scream at him. Don't be like, hey, hold on to the ball. Ball security.
Yeah.
We already know that. Don't have us thinking about it. The thing about it, man, you can grab him. You can pat him on the head. No, hey, don't worry about that, man. We gonna make up for it. I believe in you. It's all good. Keep doing your thing. Positive reinforcement with words helps more than anything else because you can have a football player, man, run around with the ball in their arm and take it to class with you, take
right.
it to the bathroom
yeah.
with you, take Man, that crap ain't going to help, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It don't help, you know, because once you get in the game, your mind gets to, I want to run this dude over. I want to punish him. I want to get this extra yard. And a lot of times it has something to do with how big your hands are, man. See, my hand's really not that big, you know, so it has something to do with how big your hands are. But he also can do some forearm, a lot of forearm exercises and strengthen that up. So when you lock down on that rock, man, it's like a Wells Fargo lock. It ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those are some things, but my thing is leave him alone, man. Hell, if he dropped the rock, man, and you know he's going to have to play the next series, don't take him out for 4 or 5 series, so now he's thinking about it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Go back roll with him.
Doc, what's this going to look like for Seth Hennigan? Because you think about the freshman year, like he checked a lot of boxes, super composed kid, you know, made some plays. Obviously, coming into a sophomore year, though, he's losing Calvin Austin. He's losing Sean Dykes, who are – you know, he's among the best weapons in the country for a freshman quarterback. So what is this going to look like for him coming off of a very good freshman season, but basically starting over with a lot of the offense?
Man, that's a great question, John, man. It's going to look like to him, it's going to look like some uncertainty, man, because he don't have any familiar faces. He was a freshman, but he has some vets.
Right.
Out there throwing the rock.
Is this like a second freshman season for Seth Hennigan in a way?
That's exactly what it is. He's a freshman again. He's a freshman plus. Like he got ESPN plus. He's freshman plus. So he got another freshman year. He's got to try to build up some kind of relationship and a trust level with these receivers. So because not only having Calvin Austin, man, being the playmaker he was that he could drop it off to, but Sean Dykes was an excellent, excellent security blanket for him, man. Even when he's missing reads, you can dump it to Sean Dykes, and he can make completions and make your yards go up and make you look good. So you're right. He has to build a relationship and build some kind of trust with these other receivers. So it's almost like him learning this position and learning this offense all over again because he just lost two huge playmakers that helped him throw for 3,300 yards last season.
Doc, switching over to the basketball side, what have you made of Penny's offseason? Now, a lot of this news you've broken, and most recently is director of basketball operations, Garrett Kelly, I believe his name is. You had that news yesterday. But from the coaching staff, because you also add Frank Haith, obviously, you got Faraji now in there. We know Faraji well from his high school days around here. And then, obviously, what he's done with the roster, Doc, going much older. You figure they're going to have one of the most experienced teams in college basketball this year, albeit new faces, but more experience. What have you made of this offseason, what it's going to all add up to come this fall?
Well, am I answering this question as, like, Penny's, like, because we like brothers and a Memphis basketball fan, or how am I answering this question?
You answered it as the man that's breaking all the news on that beat right now.
All right, well, you know what? I like it, man. This was my point with Penny, man, a couple of years ago. I've always been under the impression, like, look, bro, it's good to get these 5 stars, man. That's cool, but to me, get you a group of dogs, man. Get you a group of dogs. One of them may be a 3-star, one of them may be a 4-star, and let them go at people's neck. Because that's what Kevin Sampson does at Houston. Man, those just be dogs. They just come at you. So now he's like, you know what? Okay. It's good to get the five-star. It's good to have a couple of them, man, but sometimes that can cause problems. We saw last season. So I like what he's done. You got Kendrick, who's a dog. He's a straight dog, and you bring in the old dog who, what, 35? DeAndre, like, 35 years old. I think he might be running for mayor, too, man. You know what I'm saying? So if he don't get elected, he's coming back.
That's right.
You got him surrounded by some dogs, man. So I like what he's done. And with these coaches, you got Frank Haith, who's an excellent coach. He's a smart coach. Then you got Faraja, who works his ass off. He's going to be loyal to you, and he knows basketball pretty well. And he also has a nice firm grip on recruiting in the area and other places. So I like the moves he's made.
By the way, Kendrick Davis is the best of both because he's basically a five-star kid,
yes.
Right? Like, he's a five-star
yes.
kid and a dog. So, like,
and
that's sure. exactly the kind of kid you want to get. Doc, there's five SEC teams on this schedule, on this non-conference that came out yesterday, and I was going back. I could not find a year where Memphis basketball had that many SEC teams on the schedule in one season. What does that say about Penny's approach to this and also the brand that Memphis is now and it has returned to being in basketball?
Well, you know, it's trying to keep the credibility with the Memphis basketball foundation and tradition and try to raise it even more. You know, because when you have an SEC next to a team, regardless of who it is, it's SEC. You got an SEC win. That's what people are going to say. They're like, oh, they got three SEC wins. They're not going to necessarily look at the teams who they are. So I like that he's trying to increase the brand of Memphis and let these recruits know when people come, like, no, we still going to try to play the best of the best. Okay, you don't really like our conference too much, AAC, but look at the teams we're going to go out and play. Look at the competition we're going to put you against. Look at the eyes we're going to put you in front of. So I like what he's doing, man. You go out, you don't want to really play no powder puffs. You want a couple of them to start the season. But after that, play some of these tougher teams, man, to get you ready for the conference. So now you can be battle-tested. Now you can be mentally tough because you know you got the physical ability. So I like the fact that he's adding SEC teams because – SEC is a big dog conference, regardless, you know, basketball, football, baseball, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that he's adding five SEC squads and he's just not adding teams where he can go beat by 40 and 50 points because that don't help your squad, man, just get winning blowouts all the time.
Now, to that point,
1,000%.
To that point, I heard that they were trying to add a six, didn't end up happening, but, like, there was, like, a push, like, hey, you know, maybe we need another bye game. Like, can we get another bye game? And Penny was like, nope, I don't want it, you know? So it is. It's like, hey, like Memphis pushed Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament last year, but that, let's be real, that should have been a Sweet 16 game. That should have been an Elite Eight game. And it wasn't because Memphis was a 9, you know?
Yeah.
If Memphis goes 3-2, 4-1, you know, who knows? Like, you're setting yourself up for those runs that Cal went on. And I think that's growth there. It's learning and it's getting sort of an understanding about what it takes from that league also.
Exactly. I mean, that's a great point. And what you said is learning and it's growing, man. It's learning how this thing does. It's learning how it goes. It's learning what you can do to be successful on this level. It's learning what you can do and what needs to be done in order to compete on this level and be considered a credible basketball program, which Memphis wants to be considered again. So it's learning, it's a process, and I think he's seeing that. I think he's learning that because he'll tell you he's learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he and I had a talk. He said, you know, he talked about how tough last season was. You know, so learn from last season. So it's like, okay, last season I got some cats. I just need to, you know, I need to get out of here and start over and go older and get some dogs in there. So I love what he's doing. I love what they're doing, man, and I just hope this next season – gives us everything and even more than we got last season because we should have beaten Gonzaga.
Doc, I've been eager all day to ask you this question about Kyler Murray and who's more at fault here. Is it the Cardinals that tried to slide in this language and, you know, unprecedented language in an addendum where you're telling the guy basically you got to study 4 hours because we're questioning your work ethic? Is it that and trying to get it in there, or is it the agent of Kyler Murray that allowed his client to sign this thing in the first place, knowing that hey, if it gets public, this is going to be a bad look? Who does the fault lie with here in this mess that's been out on the Kyler Murray situation?
I put it this way, man. You know what? To me, I look at it like professional development. Now, as a quarterback, it's a sad situation. They got to make you study.
Yes.
It's a sad situation. If they know that you don't properly prepare yourself, you're like a little child. You don't properly prepare yourself to be successful on this level. But at the same time, if I'm looking at a contract, bro, and it got $160 million guaranteed, I don't give a damn what how y'all perceive the little language. I don't care. I'm getting that 160. Man, yeah, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
When they say, you don't be prepared. Prepare this 160, man. Give me that. Prepare for that.
That's right.
You know, I don't care about what y'all talking about.
I got
but
you.
But it does look bad because I'm like, oh, y'all don't trust the man enough to prepare himself to be successful to get y'all to a deep playoff run, but y'all trust him enough to get $160 million guaranteed.
Right.
So I was curious of how that was going to work anyway. Was y'all going to have him on camera? Y'all going to have like a GA or a quality control assistant on the laptop with him or whatever, man, because if he could log in and just be hitting stuff and still watching TV and playing the video game. So, you know, it's 160 guaranteed, bro, but I would put it on the team. Mm-hmm. And it's even worse now that they redacted it. Like,
yeah,
damn, stick to your guns, man.
Right. What kind of leadership does that show on your part that you just folded like that? That's what you're saying.
That is, exactly. That means you're supposed to make a decision and stick with it. So now you're saying y'all can be influenced by fans and public perception.
Yeah. No, that's wild. Hey, Doc, man, this was fun.
Want to do this all the time, brother. Would love to do it regularly. You know that.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you all, man. It's good to talk to you all again, man. You all keep doing a great job, man. Forget what everybody out here saying, man. Y'all opinions are y'all opinions. So damn them, bro. You know what I'm saying? Cats ain't going to like it. A lot of people love you, so y'all keep doing what y'all doing.
Doc, you keep doing what you're doing, brother. Real
yes,
talk.
Sir. I ain't going to stop, my boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Yeah. He is Doc Holliday, great Doc Holliday. Appreciate his time here on the show.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.